It is interesting, today we hear it twice about the people who walk in darkness and see a great light. There's a movie just out called Silence, and it is about Jesuit missionaries in Japan and their persecution. What's most interesting with it is that the primary actor in it, Andrew Garfield, decided that if he was going to play a Jesuit priest, he had to figure out something of what it was about. And so he went to the Jesuits and asked them. Well, it wasn't so simple. This man who was an atheist decided to figure out how, by going through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, who knows, did he do it in 30 days or 30 weeks? I don't know. One of those choices. But it was a life-changing experience for the man, as were the rest of the practices of the Jesuits that he went through. So by the time he finished his training, which he had intended just to be training for how to do this, he saw the light. He says, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with Jesus going through this, what had been simply a training exercise to begin with, but proved to not be such. And certainly someone making the spiritual exercises, if they didn't know Jesus and come out loving him on the other end, would have missed the boat. And clearly he did not. So it's a wondrous sense, even in our day, somebody walking in darkness in atheism can meet Jesus and say, oh, I fell in love with him. I came to know him. In the gospel today, we see Peter, Cephas, out in his boat fishing. Now, he obviously had some sense of Jesus being around. They had a lot of word of mouth back then. There weren't any newspapers to read. And so when Jesus came near him and said, come follow me, he had to make a decision that would turn him away from simply being a good Jew who did fishing and looked after his family and figured out how to follow, what this was. So clearly, Cephas, Peter, fell in love with Jesus as he walked on the face of the earth. Now, it wasn't an easy journey of love because Peter goes through all kinds of stuff along the way. We know he doubts. He says, no, I don't know him. He does all kinds of things. And slowly but surely, his love grows. Now I suspect, they don't say anything in the scripture, I suspect that Simon also took his wife with him, because otherwise she would have been left with nothing when her husband walked away to follow Jesus. They don't tell us that. There's lots that they don't tell us. Stories are kept short, and they're all about the men. So let's just figure that there has to be something else going on, right? Yes. But he falls in love with Jesus and follows. What an amazing metanoia on his part to go from fish to human beings in the long run as to what and who he seeks. Then we get to the second reading. We get to Paul. Now, Paul clearly didn't like Jesus, never met Jesus, persecuted the early Christians, did everything possible, and yet somehow Paul hears and falls in love with Jesus. Spends the rest of his life showing how much he loves Jesus and what Jesus and the Christ stood for. So when we hear Paul saying to the people at Corinth, you're making a mess, he's saying that because they're saying, well, I belong to so-and-so, and I belong to so-and-so. Wait a minute. You either belong to Christ, or you haven't figured it out as to where you belong. And that's what gets him. So when he's so much in love with Christ, and he hears people breaking up Christ by, I was baptized by Apollo, I was baptized by Paul, that's not what it's about. And it's a wonder that his love is so centered, so focused on the Lord and drawing people to the Lord, that he really can't stand what people are doing to the Christ. Well, if we take all of these and our sense of love, of baptism and faith and the church, and just think how much we're divided oftentimes, but we've got to come back to the one fact. We're baptized into Christ. We may well say, well, I happen to be a follower of EWTN, and I read the National Catholic Reporter, and I like Pope Benedict, and I like Pope Francis, and when it comes all down to it, if we lose track of who? Of Jesus the Christ, and what our baptism is about, then we have failed to love. We have failed to love totally with who we are. It's not easy. I mean, anybody who's been married for any number of years knows you. At one point, you promise to one another to be together for life. And sometimes it happens as we journey well, and sometimes it doesn't. My wife and I kid, this Friday we'll be married for 49 years. We're only part way toward the million years we said we have to reach. But yeah, how do we learn in all of the things we do, all of the things that tend to pull us apart, to come back to the center which is a place of light, the center which is a place of faithful growth for Peter, the center which totally rules the life of St. Paul as he goes around. Call to love. Let me use a prayer of Pedro Arrupe, which says something of, there's only one thing in the world, to love God. And you can put Jesus in what he says. He says, nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love, in quite an absolute way and final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything you decide. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Yep. It, what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. So we're not on a seashore to be called by Jesus. We're here, but we are still called. And the symphony of his words is what we must listen to and live up to each and every day, in how we treat one another, in how we reach out, in how we say yes to him in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and just in being. We are called to love.